Good morning.
Morning.
Thank you, Brian. Where do you go? Oh, there he is. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm excited about Jesus.
Yes.
Are you excited about him?
Yes.
He's coming soon, people. He's coming soon. And I tell you what, if you're excited about stuff of the earth, you got to be excited about Jesus. I tell you, when we get to see him face to face, we're going to be like him. We got to get to know him now, don't we? Time's pretty short. And if you're a young person in here, a real young person in here today, say, I don't want Jesus to come yet. I want a car. Jesus understands that. I was there once, too. But I tell you what, heaven is going to be awesome. And we don't even know yet what God has got prepared for those who love him and are looking for him and loving his seeing. But I tell you what, just to be in his presence is going to be exciting enough, especially those who've been walking through fear, through trials, through tribulations, through situations in your life, saying, when is this ever going to end? It will end.
Yes. Come on.
And one day we'll be standing before the very one that will wipe away all tears. He knows the cause. He knows the reason. He knows the antidote to everything that's happening in your and my life. And he's the one that I'm looking for. He's the one I'm excited about coming. And Father in heaven is going to say, go get him, son. Yes. And could be very soon. So my message today, the treachery after the second coming. You say, come on. We're not even going to be here. I believe if Jesus put it in here, he wanted us to know about it. Amen. Yeah. There's a purpose and a reason for it, that he wants us to be aware of the hour in which we live. And again, I'm going to, the world is moving so rapidly right now. It's moving so, and it's changing rapidly. We're seeing things happen that we never ever thought would ever happen in our lifetime. We're seeing things beyond our wildest dreams that we're surprised would even be said or done on a camera. And we're living that hour right now. So I'm preaching this because I want to stand before the Lord one day and tell him that I preached the whole console. He knows already what pastors and people are doing. And that's why you and I need to be out there sharing the gospel too. Amen. Yeah. We need to not just be in these walls, but we need to be out there and telling somebody about Jesus, because he is the answer. He's the one that's coming soon. He wants as many people to come to heaven as possibly will accept his free gift of salvation. So my text this morning, if you're following, if you have a Bible this morning, or I'm going to be preaching mostly out of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It says, now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by truth, nor by letter, as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there coming falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, speaking of Paul. And now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan will all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness, and unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but in pleasure in unrighteousness. God wants people to be warned of what's coming upon the earth. He wants us warned. And we're living in a time today right now, and you've heard me repeatedly say it, and I will probably keep saying it in different times, but we're living in a time where the church has walked away from many of these teachings in Scripture because it may offend, it may upset someone. But I tell you what, Jesus is telling us to warn people of the coming judgment upon this world, and it is coming, and we need to be aware of that. And so the introduction here of this scripture, it's a passage, the Word of God, and it shows us the truth concerning the treachery of the things that are going to take place immediately after the Lord Jesus comes for his church. Whether you believe in the pre-trib, the mid-trib, or whatever, doesn't make any difference. It's all going to pan out anyway. Jesus is coming. I believe in the pre-trib. I believe it's there in Scripture. The Thessalonians were being told that the day of the Lord had already come. Even back then, they were being told that. They had this information of what seemed to be on excellent authority. That's why when we hear even preachers and evangelists on television, radios, CDs, or whatever, you need to know what they're preaching. If there's new revelations, if there's things being said, you just don't take it for granted because, oh, they're a charismatic speaker and they really know what they're talking about. And they use a few scriptures here and there and they even build a doctrine on one scripture. You cannot do that. You need to be aware of everything that's being told you by others, even if you really love this evangelist or whomever it is. You got to question what they're preaching and check it out and study it yourself that you not be deceived. This was going on in the church even back during Paul's time. It was confirmed by spirit utterance, a prophetic word, a letter supposedly signed by the Apostle Paul. They were thoroughly ensnared by a threefold deception. It was confirmed by a spirit utterance for that in the force of the word spirit here. It was also confirmed by a prophetic pronouncement. Paul says a word, and this was the gift of prophecy. The work of the New Testament prophet was to convey a local gathering of believers by a direct Holy Spirit illumination. Truth that was already apostolically revealed. Last, there was forged letter which confirmed the deception was being foisted upon them, imposed upon them. They had received a letter supposedly from the Apostle Paul. The letter was masquerading as a Pauline epistle. Paul takes this incident to unmask the deep things of Satan and incorporates them into Scripture. We need to be aware, people. First, the man of sin is revealed. Paul relates these three chronological events that will happen after the rapture of the church. First, the man of sin is revealed. This is found in verse 3 of our text. Paul said, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first." That is speaking of the departure of the rapture. And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Notice the two major areas concerning the man of sin being revealed in our text. First, the climate of his coming. The coming deception will be so intense that we need to doubly be on guard when it happens. We need to be alert. It's too bad, but whenever I hear something being said, whether it be on social media, television, whatever it is, I have to question. I got to make sure I got my Bible ready. Or if you got the, you got to make sure, bring it up on there and check it out. If there's any little hint of wondering what did that person just say, you need to double check it and study it yourself. 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're seducing spirits in doctrines of devils in churches today. In churches. What? In a church? Yes, in a church. And we need to be aware of that. And people today are departing from the faith. And that's a scary thing. There's people who said, oh, I would never, ever walk away from God. I know a few people that have in my Christian walk and journey that at once were in church. Every time the doors were open, we're praising, we're involved in ministry, and today they would rather curse God than walk in a church. Guard your heart, people. We're in serious times. That's why VBS and why Sandra's so excited what we're doing this week with the young people, because we want to put the word of God in the depth of their hearts. There will be a departing of faith, a literal apostasy, and we're seeing that happen in the hour that you and I are living. There will be a forsaking of the faith. And many marks of this coming apostasy are already evident in our society. Wherever we look today, we're seeing it happen. Are you listening to me today, people? Just put your hand up and wave at me and I'll wave back at you. Praise the Lord. You got to hear this because it involves eternal souls. It involves eternal souls. And there's too many people being put to sleep a day with fluff. Jesus directed us to Noah in Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 and 39. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Listen to this. And in Luke chapter 17, 28, there's an illustration of what the world will be like at the end times. Likewise, also, it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they did drink, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. What's happening in our nation right now? Prosperity is coming back. People are buying, selling. It's on the news every day. It's happening all around us. They're buying, they're building, they're eating, they're drinking, they're marrying, there's more money. And I'm sitting here saying, Lord, could we possibly be witnessing the moment before Jesus comes back, according to the scripture, in three or four different places, he mentions what the world is going to be like prior to the flood coming, prior to judgment coming up on Sodom, Gomorrah, and different areas like that. Things are happening. We need to be aware of what's happening around us right now, even with the president that God has put in power. There's things happening, people. Noah's time represented a permissive society. Do we have a permissive society? Yeah. We do, don't we? It was during Noah's time, too. And we can find that in chapters 4 and 6 in Genesis, which I'm not going to read for the sake of time. But not only will the climate of the Antichrist coming be permissive society, it will also be during a perverted society. Would you say that our society is a perverted society? Yes. I cannot believe the perversion that we are hearing up on TV and radio or whatever, the internet today, is beyond me. It's beyond me. And this is illustrated in Lot's time also, and you can read that in Genesis chapter 19, what the world was like during his time. We are in some serious times, and I believe the Lord is saying, watch, I'm coming back. Listen, for I'm coming back for the church. See, what happened in Genesis 19 is happening today. You need to read that, people. You need to study and read that. That is the kind of society in which we live today. What used to be right is now wrong. What is wrong is now right. What used to be good is now bad, and what was bad is now good. And they even say that on television. I was watching the Congress this week while they were interviewing a gentleman. And it's amazing how someone could sit before millions of people and lie through his teeth and not blink. And that's the way man's heart gets when it becomes hardened toward what God warns us against. And the things that are being said by statesmen, people that lead our nation, people who stand up and say the foulest thing on television. And I'm sitting there thinking, and they accuse each other's back and forth by using words and phrases and everything. And I think about the young people in our nation. And I'm talking in the young people, the teenagers up in their 20s and 30s. And I'm thinking, what kind of impression are they putting up on all of our young people in our nation today, thinking it's okay to talk like this, it's okay to act like this? It becomes the norm in the society we have. Dangerous times. Where is the time when it was terrible to say even one little swear word in public? It was a no-no when I was growing up. You wouldn't dream of it. And today it's nothing. They use words left and right, and people just listen to it, and they're already desensitized in their hearts, and they don't even hear it. That's why I preach the way I do, people. That's why there's a lot of remnant churches rising up like this, breaking away from the fluff ones, and saying, we're going to preach the word of God. We're going to warn the people because Jesus Christ is coming. And I'm going to preach things that minister to our hearts and lives where we're at today, too. But I believe this is part of it right here. I really do. It makes us think. I mean, it does me. See, what used to be good is now bad, and what was bad is now good. And it's not getting better. It's getting worse, people. And you say, no, it's going to. The church, the longer we're here, the better it's going to get. Is it? You know why it isn't? The church is not doing what it's supposed to do. People are not witnessing like they used to. The church is not preaching the full counsel of God. So people go out with half the word in their heart, and some of it softened down so it doesn't offend. 2 Timothy 3:13 says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul is saying that this is going to be the kind of climate that will be penetrating our world when the Antichrist appears. Today, our society accepts God-dishonoring, God-daring, and God-defying practices. Just this last couple of weeks, a comedian woman was on the, not necessarily even it had to be a woman, but it was a woman, said that if you haven't had an abortion, you need to get one. And brought God into it. I don't believe it was the God of the Bible she brought in. She don't realize she was bringing in the Satan, the father of lies. Today, our society accepts God dishonoring, and they're bringing God into everything that's evil. But I don't believe for a second it is the God of the Bible. Not only do we need to investigate the climate of his coming, but also the clues to his character. Speaking of the Antichrist, about his personality. Paul says he is the man of sin and the son of perdition. The Antichrist will be the embodiment, the incarnation of its sin itself. In fact, he will be the second person in a satanic trinity. As the Lord Jesus was the visible expression of the invisible God, so the Antichrist will be the visible expression of the invisible devil. All the fullness of God, people. All the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily in Jesus. So much that he could say to people in John 14:9. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Just Jesus. You know why the devil hates Jesus? You know why nobody ever is, they'll get on national television and they'll talk about God this and God that, and it can be any God they're talking about. But I tell you, as soon as you say Jesus, man, there's feathers and hairs that go up on necks. And that's happening. But see, Jesus is the everlasting Father too. Now, one guy asked me a week ago, he said, you know, the Trinity, this Father, Holy Ghost, and Son stuff, you know, I can't figure it out. I said, well, join the world. There's not a theologian in the world or pastor or anyone that can explain the Trinity of God. There's no one earthly that can do that. We cannot do that. But we accept it by faith because it's in Scripture. And I believe the Word of God wholeheartedly. I don't even question an inkling. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost in one. Did you know there's three of me? Body, soul, and spirit. You can only see one, right? Okay, I'll stop there. There is actually two of me. I got a twin, too, identical, so. The beast will likewise be the bodily manifestation of Satan on earth. He will be the man of sin, glorifying incense, sponsoring sin, popularizing sin, enthroning sin, living in sin, and embodying in sin. That's what he's going to be like. Sinful men will be drawn to him. And we're watching that today, people. It is so obvious. And the people that are being drawn into it are not aware of it because they've been deceived in their spirit. But they're drawn toward the people in blatant sin. And the world is being set up to receive this man of sin right now. Paul says in verse 3, and that man of sin be revealed. The man of sin be revealed. The phrase be revealed comes from the Greek word apokalypto, which literally means to unveil so as to be visible to the eye, to uncover, to disclose, or reveal. He's going to be revealed. Apokalypto is where we get the English word apocalypse. That's where we get it from today. Paul is saying that the Antichrist is going to be revealed and made visible to the eye, literally. Who knows but what the Antichrist could be up to right now? We don't know what he could be up to right now. Plotting, planning, scheming, putting together in this system to eventually rise to the top to rule this world. And that's what the world is looking for. Somebody who's got an answer to the world's problems. The second chronological event that Paul shares with us is the mystery of iniquity is restrained. And I'm focusing on this one in verses 4 through 7 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. There are two major areas they relate to in the mystery of iniquity being restrained. First, Satan plans exposed by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's at work too. I'm not dismayed. I'm excited because that's my God at work in the world. And this is confirming that he is at work and he's confirming he's coming back again. And it is here that Satan's most secret plan is unmasked. His goal is to be openly worshipped by all mankind. That's what he wants. He wants man worship. And he's after that. As the Lord Jesus is the one through whom we worship God, so the Antichrist will be the one through whom people will worship Satan himself up on the earth. Satan's plan is to exalt man to the highest pinnacle of worship that he can get him to. And this is found in verse 4. It says, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. See, Satan will exalt this man so that all will worship that might be channeled through the one evil mediator to himself. That's what he's after. The Antichrist will be probably an attractive and a charismatic figure, perhaps a genius, a demon-controlled, devil-taught, and irresistible charmer of men. Whew. Can you see what's happening in our world today? It's happening before our very eyes, people. And the church needs to wake up and realize that we are on the verge of being gone. Jesus Christ is coming back very soon, sooner than we may think. And he will have the answer, the Antichrist. Will have the answer to the horrendous problems of mankind. He will be all things to all men. He'll be a political statesman, a social lion, a financial wizard, an intellectual giant, a religious deceiver, a masterful orator, and a gifted organizer. He will be Satan's masterpiece of deception, the world's false Messiah. Satan's plan is to also exhibit this man in the holiest place of worship. Did you know that? That's where he wants to put him. The Bible told us in verse 4, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself as to be God. The Jews by this time will have rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem and restored the sacrificial system under his protection. But once the Jews have served his purposes, he will brush them aside, garrison Jerusalem with his troops, and seize their temple. I just read this article just yesterday of March 29th, 2018. Was that very long ago? That wasn't very long ago, was it? Here's what it said. Top Israeli rabbi believes Trump will build the third temple in Jerusalem. Boy, it's quiet in here. You know, that's kind of fascinating, because if you want to go in there and start looking at things, I listened to a rabbi yesterday on the internet that was talking about he has got all of his sacrificial stuff ready, his garments and the whole nine, and he's excited to begin to do, to start doing sacrificing in this new temple that he believes will be the Dome of the Rock. It's, I don't want to get into that part of it in depth, but we are watching, and you hear the temple talk even in today's political season of people talking about a new temple. You can hear it on the news. It's being talked about, and it can go fast. We're not talking years to build a temple. I've even heard that they had prefabricated walls and ready to put it up. And what do we see in businesses around here? I live out in Rogers, Minnesota, and they put up these great big huge warehouses, and within a week, once they start putting the walls up, they bring in these big slabs of concrete, put them up, you know, and glue them together with Gorilla Glue, whatever they use, and they're ready to go. He, the man of sin, intends to put the beast image in the temple as further object of worship and further provocation of the Most High. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 and 6, I want to read quickly. I'm going to hold off on that second here. Paul said in verse 5, remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? God's going to bring back memories to people too in heaven. There's going to be excuses. Say, nobody told me. I didn't know about it. Oh, I forgot about it. But Paul told the people, he told them right here, remember ye not? Paul was faithful to instruct and warn believers of the intentions of Satan. Now, what else did Paul say? He said, and now we, you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in the last time, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. And the word, the word work here is the word from which we derive the English word energy. It means to work actively, to work effectively, or to be actively in operation. The leaven of sin is preparing the loaf of human society for the final outburst of wickedness. Satan is not on vacation, people. He's not on vacation. He is working overtime, and he is fiercely working to deceive. He is setting the stage for his man to be ushered in as ruler of this planet. I believe that is happening even while you and I are sitting in this building right now, of what events are happening overseas even today. Not only is there a vigorous activity by Satan, but there is a victorious activity of the Holy Spirit. Remember what Paul said in verse 6 and 7? He said, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit's at work. Paul could be dealing with two identities here in different objects. First, he could be dealing with the church. The influence of the true Christian in the world, indwelt by the Holy Spirit. both in winning others to Christ as serving as salt and light upon earth. That is what is preventing the decay of the world, even at a rapid pace right now, is when God's people are out doing what we need to be doing. And that's living and sharing the word of God, not just being nice. I'm talking about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, literally, verbally telling someone about the good news of Jesus Christ and warning the sinner in their sin, lest they repent, they will not enter heaven. That's being a church active, not just being goody two shoes, because I know how to be a goody two shoe. I heard a guy one time tell a coworker, "You're a goody two shoe," because the guy was. He was the nicest guy you'd ever meet in the world, but he never spoke the word out loud, but he was just a really nice guy. But I tell you, the ones who are going to speak out the word of God is what God is talking about here, is preventing the decay of the world rapidly. We know that the church is in this world at this time, but it will soon be raptured out. Can you imagine that? When the church is gone, what this world will be like then and how it is right now. You think it's bad now? Cool. This will happen prior to the man of sin be revealed. So he could be referring to the church, or he could be talking about the Holy Spirit. And let me clarify that to a degree here. God is omnipresent. He is in all places at all times, isn't he? He's everywhere. God is everywhere. During the tribulation, the Holy Spirit will be there, but his function, I believe, will be different. It'll be different. The Holy Spirit will come upon individuals, but rarely abide in individuals, similar to how it worked in the Old Testament times. The Holy Spirit will come upon people to prophesy or to speak, but he will not reside within men as he does now. And so Paul says, "Ye know what withholdeth." They knew exactly what he had in mind when he said it too. "Only he who now letteth," speaking the church, "hinders or holds fast, will let or hinder or holds fast until he," the Holy Spirit, through the church, speaking of, "be taken out of the way." God calls the Holy Spirit, "Come up hither." Everybody that has the Holy Ghost in them, they're going to go up hither. Amen? What a time. I'm looking forward to it. How about you? I'm looking forward to it. I get excited. We got a hope and a future because Jesus is going to take us up in the twinkling of an eye and the trump. But you know, when you go on and read that scripture further, it says trumpet. Now, isn't that strange? I'm putting a thought in your mind here. Why did that word not say trumpet instead of trump? The last trump and the trumpet of God. Why didn't he say the last trumpet? Could God be telling us something? Just a thought. Interesting times we live in. I can hear gears. We do know that the Holy Spirit and the church are involved here in the scripture. And when these are removed, the man of sin will be revealed. Some already say they know who the Antichrist is and even said who they thought it was. I'm not going to say the name right now, but they know who it is, for without a shadow of a doubt. Makes sense, but I'm not going to say it out because I'm going to go what scripture says. I believe the word. If it doesn't line up with the word, doesn't mean a whole lot. If we do, we do. If we know the moment before, just before we take off, okay. But if not, hey, I'm okay with that. I want to see Jesus. I don't want to see the Antichrist anyway. People are hankering to see the Antichrist. What for? I want to see Jesus. Man. See, I mentioned at the beginning of this message, there are three chronological events involved in the treachery after his coming. We have looked at two of them so far. We have seen the man of sin being revealed and the mystery of iniquity being restrained. Thirdly, we see the might of Satan released. There's going to be a destruction. And this is found in verses 8 through 12. It says, "And then shall that wicked be revealed," and it's only going to be for a brief time also, "whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." How arrogant man is, even within the church, to talk about God the way they talk about him when I read this scripture alone right here. Just this one. And I can find others. What a God we have. And he shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Can you imagine the God that we serve? See, Paul here is talking about the end of the tribulation. And we need to keep in perspective that one verse can take us through several years of time also. Paul's talking about when Jesus comes at the end of the tribulation, when the brightness of his coming will be so great that he will destroy and crush the wicked one that has been revealed. And then there's going to be that satanic deception. Before the sovereign destruction, there will be satanic deception in verses 9 and 10. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them perish. Paul uses the word parousia, the same word used in the New Testament to describe the coming of Christ. Just like Jesus is going to have a parousia in his coming, Satan is also going to have a parousia. And there's going to be a mighty power and signs and lying wonders and deceive people into believing that he indeed is to be worshipped. Even now, people are being swept into the arms of Satan by all kinds of occult phenomena produced and promoted by the devil himself, and they don't even realize it. There's people sitting in churches today that once would go be against certain things that sin talked about in Scripture, but the way it's been presented, they are now receiving it as part of their services within their churches. And you sit here and say, I would never be deceived. You better say, with God's help, you will never be deceived. Because believe me, deception is very deceiving. John 4:48, then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. How often do we hear that? I even hear Christians say, I need to see a sign. I need to see something from God in order for my faith to kick in and to believe and to trust. How many times have we seen that? Well, they're going to get to see it if they don't get their eyes on Jesus and get into the Word, because it's going to happen. Then said Jesus unto them, except ye see signs and wonders, ye shall not believe. The deception has already begun and will continue to grow until Satan is fully revealed and mankind is totally revealed. Satan will perform mighty signs and great wonders. And there's going to be many young people that will get sucked into that because mommies and daddies and grandpas and grandmas didn't warn according to the Word of God. And we need to be alert and we need to be in tune with the Word of God and share that with our families. People will be mystified and mesmerized and they will be deceived into worshiping him. Look at how they worship a man today in one major religion in the world, speaking of the Catholic Church. Look at the Pope. By the way, the Pope just said that the priests have more power than God. And people worship him. And look at that. Millions. What is there, 1 or 2 billion Catholics in the world? Not all of them, but many of them worship this Pope. We don't do that. We worship Jesus. But not only is there going to be a sovereign destruction and a satanic deception, there's also going to be a strong delusion. Notice in verse 10, Paul said, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. And listen to this, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If there's any of you sitting in here today and you have pleasure in unrighteousness, you need to repent of it and get out of it quickly before Jesus comes back or you die. Or you will be damned in that unrighteousness. And whatever that unrighteousness is, it will be magnified a million times greater in eternity. And you will live out eternity in that unrighteousness. There is a scripture verse. I can't think of it right now, but I could find it. The worldliness of man is shown because he is scripturally perverted. Why do you think there's so many new scripture versions coming out that are totally changed? eliminated, words taken out, words put in, phrases changed, things taken out like Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Holy Ghost. Why do you think these new versions are coming out? People are reading them and they're not getting the truth of the Word of God, and they don't even realize it, and most of them don't care, and some of them even get mad at you when you point it out. Because there's enough truth to make you feel good. But you know something? Messengers that tell the truth are usually the ones that are hated. He rejects the truth and therefore cannot be saved. See, we only have one chance before we die or Jesus comes back to get right with the Lord. Paul is talking here about people who have heard the gospel. Listen now. They've heard the gospel about Jesus dying as a substitute for the sinfulness of man, hanging on a cross, going to the grave, coming out of the grave, and returning to heaven. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to open shame. That's not talking about somebody who's never heard. That's talking about people who have evidently been in churches or been ministered to. We're talking serious stuff, people. Jesus is coming back. Listen, they heard the true message but chose to reject it. There's some maybe sitting in here today, maybe you've heard the message over and over, and you just say, "Yeah, it's a preacher. It's one of those there Bible thumper preachers, hell, fire, and brimstone guy." No, I'm not. No, I'm not. I'm just telling you the truth. That's all I'm doing. They did not receive the truth. They did not love the truth that they might be saved. They wanted their sins, not the Savior. They wanted their worldliness, not the Word. They wanted their rebellion and not Christ's redemption. They wanted to serve Satan, not surrender to the Savior. Not only are they scripturally perverted, but they are spiritually perverted, because Paul says in verse 9, "Them that perish." That's scary. He's talking about those who are on their way to the devil's hell as a result of not finding Christ as Lord and Savior. Not only are they scripturally perverted and spiritually perverted, but they are socially perverted also. He said they had pleasure in unrighteousness. Not only did they practice sin, but they had pleasure in sin. And more than that, they loved unrighteousness. They came to the place in life where they hated the right and loved the wrong. And we hear that shouted in protest today over national television. And it's similar to what the Apostle Paul was saying in Romans chapter 1, where the people had a reprobate mind and they did wrong instead of right. The Bible tells us about the worldliness of man, but also about the work of God. Paul writes in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 2, and I'm getting close to done, people. I didn't hear any. That's good. That's good. And for this cause, meaning the rejection of Jesus Christ and the cross, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. That's speaking of those who refuse the truth, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. See, there's a fallacy that says, if you miss the rapture, if you miss the rapture, just hold on to your faith during the tribulation, even though you may not have to die for your faith, and you will still go to heaven. I've heard that. Well, I'll get right with Jesus when the tribulation starts. Then I'll get right. Then it's time. Has anybody else heard that? I have. But I contend, if we cannot believe the truth of the glorious gospel of Christ when they have the opportunity in this age where you and I are right now, we most likely will not be able to accept or serve him after the church is gone. Man, people that are afraid to live and serve Jesus right now in the hour that we live are saying, I'll wait till the tribulation. According to Scripture, there will be a great multitude out of every tribe and every nation saved during the tribulation period. Interesting, isn't it? And that's in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 and 14. One commentary stated that this great multitude will be, and I agree with it. You don't have to, but I agree with it. One commentary stated that this great multitude will be men and women who never had a real opportunity to understand and receive the gospel before the rapture. And I agree with that. But who will believe, often even suffering martyrdom for their faith, when they read or hear during this coming time of judgment on earth? Will they truly give their lives to Jesus when they know they're going to be bodily affected by it, beheaded? It's going to be a terrible, terrible time, people, a time that this earth has never, ever experienced before. And then people are saying, that's when my faith is really going to be great and strong, when many won't even stand up for their faith today. Even a simple little saying, I'm a Christian. How in the world are you going to do it when there's going to be satanic people surrounding you, even next door, your neighbors or whomever? The Bible says people will be deceived and then they will be lost. Paul, I repeat what Paul said, and for this cause shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. It is one thing for a man to give up on God. It's another thing for God to give up on man. God doesn't. He goes all the way till mankind totally rejects him. Those who slight God's grace will be handed over to Satan's grip. Think about that. You got loved ones that don't know the Lord. You've never told them. You've never shared. And maybe they're backslidden in their faith and they're not living where they belong. I would be there. I encourage my family, my loved ones when I see them. And I'm not a popular guy. And some of you aren't either in your families because you stand for what you believe. But you got to do it. Time is short. I want my family in heaven. And it takes living for Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand, please. How much more so when strong delusion is poured out by God and the Antichrist is performing mighty wonders? See, mankind is blind to the truth. How much more is going to be blind when the church is gone and Satan has free liberty upon this planet? People, I want to tell you this. Now is the day of salvation. That's why Jesus put it in the word. He says, now is the day of salvation, because the Lord knows you may not have a second chance. You may drop dead for you, leave this building. You don't know. I believe Jesus had that urgency, and that's why in his short life, in his ministry, as he preached the word of God, he said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. He knew his time was short. And he knows our time's very short from here to here, or here to here. It's short. There's a story about an elderly man who wanted to go to the movies. Standing on the street corner with his tin cup, a kindly man passed by and dropped in some coins. After walking on a few steps, the donor turned and saw the blind man had pushed his glasses to his forehead and was squinting at the coins. The donor said to the elderly man, I thought you were a blind man. Oh, no, he said. I'm only substituting for the regular blind man today. I'm not really blind at all. Well, where is the regular blind man? Oh, he's gone to the movies. It's his day off. You know, the point of this is that if we're so easily deceived by man's little schemes like that, what is going to happen when Jesus, before Jesus takes the church out? Amen. With every head bowed, please, and eyes closed. If there's anyone in here this morning, I'm preaching this with urgency in my heart, because I believe in my heart, and many other pastors and theologians believe, we're at the brink of the coming of Jesus Christ and people, not just pastors. But I can see the events rapidly coming and they're getting closer and closer. Is there anybody in here say, Pastor, I would want to give my life to Jesus right now? Raise up your hand and do it. I'm not going to beg you. I'm not going to beg you. Put it up. Be bold. Don't care what anybody thinks. Because if you do, you're more concerned about man than you are the God who wants to save you. Is there anybody else that says, I want to give my life to Jesus right now? Is there anybody? This is the hardest part, because everyone that Jesus called, he always called them publicly, didn't he? You can read it in the scripture, and there's a purpose for that. That when you and I go publicly, it's that when we solidify our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask the people, raise your hand. Not just come up and face me. Just walk up and be with me. I'm already up here. Guess what? I already walked that walk. If you're serious, come on up here. Somebody encourage him to come. Come on up here. If you want to get right with Jesus, this is the time right now. We don't know if we have tomorrow. Is there anybody willing to do that? All I'm going to do is pray with you. That's all I'm going to do. Everyone's going to pray. I'm going to count to three, and then I'm just going to pray. One, two, three. This may have been your last chance to. You say, well, I can give my life to Jesus all by myself. Well, you can do that, but I tell you what. Jesus did call people publicly for a purpose and a reason. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we know the hour is late. We know that, Father. And Lord, you saw the hands that went up this morning. And I'll let you be God. But Lord, I pray for those hands that went up today, Lord, that in their heart, that there will be such a burning and desire that they will want to share with someone. If they don't want to share here, they won't share anywhere. But Lord, you told us to go into all the world and to preach and to be witnesses, to be salt and to be light. And Lord, you said to repent of our sins and to turn away from them and totally commit our lives to Jesus. And you said that your blood would wash us clean from all of our sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and there are none righteous, no, not one. So, Lord, I leave these people in your hands that the Holy Spirit does the work, because I will not force and you will not force. You simply call. And, Lord, I pray for each home that's here this morning represented, that the power of your Holy Spirit, the joy of the Lord, will come upon each home. That there's a joy in serving you, even in the midst of the world that we're living in. There's still a joy. There's an excitement of living for Jesus and knowing that you're born again and saved. And Lord, I pray that over every home, Lord, that we be people that are excited, that are on fire for you, Lord, that are dedicated to reading the Word and being aware of our surroundings in the days ahead and even throughout the day. And we give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you all made it here today. And tell somebody you love Jesus on the way out. Do it on purpose. And I'll be up front here to pray with anyone. Amen.